Life in many ways is a searching expedition. From the time we are born, we seek to find our place in the world. Babies respond to the voice of their mother and find a sense of contentment in knowing she is near. Their faces shine with joy as their father comes into the room, and when they are in distress, they find comfort in the arms of those who love and care for them. Little by little as they grow, they find the strength to take steps on their own, exploring the world around them, and more, as long as their loved ones are in view, they will venture out. This curiosity grows and grows from toddlerhood, throughout childhood, through adolescence to adulthood. We are always trying to find meaning and our place in the world. King Solomon, called the teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes, wrestles with the question of life's meaning in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, saying, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up." He goes on to say in verses 9 through 12, "What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their mind. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live." And after contemplating the meaning of life, Solomon ends Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter saying, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." So even though work can be difficult at times, it is God's will that we enjoy life and the beauty he has created, though that beauty is hard to see at times because of the effects of sin on humanity and the world. And God reserves for himself the understanding of how everything fits together. And yet Solomon, the teacher, says that God has planted eternity in our hearts, a sense of past and future in our minds. God designed us to be in relationship with him and has given each of us an awareness of the infinite within ourselves, which should be enough for each of us to be in awe of God, who is infinite and eternal, and enough to hope that there is eternal life. Theologian St. Augustine wrote, "You arouse us, O Lord, so that praising you may bring us joy, because you have made us and drawn us to yourself, and our heart is unquiet until it rests in you." So because our hearts are restless apart from God, we seek meaning and value in things that cannot fully bring us joy or satisfy us. Because of sin, human beings have an inclination to stray away from their Creator, thereby straying away from their true purpose. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 17, verses 27 and 28, that it is God's desire that we would search for him and find him, though he is not far from us. For in him we live and move and have our being. because of our inclination to stray, God decided to make it clear. He came himself in the form of the one he created. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that God, the creator who said, "Let there be light," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory that is displayed in the face of Christ. We no longer have to wonder who God is. Jesus showed us who God is and how much God loves us. God in his grace revealed himself through Jesus Christ to bring about his plan of reconciliation so that human beings never need to be in the dark about who God is or be separated from God again. Yet Paul also says that the God of this world, who is Satan, has blinded the eyes of people who do not believe. The truth is hidden in plain sight, and yet people continue to search. The existence and the evidence of the existence of God is all around us, yet people deny his existence. One of my Facebook friends this week wrote, "In less than 1 week, we stood in awe of the heavenly glory of an eclipse and gasped at the destructive power of the storm." People continue to search, and we have the answer to what they are looking for. God has placed the priceless treasure of his glorious gospel within us. We are to be living vessels, jars of clay, through which God pours out his life upon the world. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 17 and verse 21 that the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. You see, the religious leaders saw miracles and signs and wonders, and yet they still didn't believe. But Jesus told his followers that the kingdom of God would be with them because the kingdom of God would be within them. Now, there's a problem with the church in America today. Instead of changing the atmosphere around us, we are taking on the ways of the culture. The lines of right and wrong have blurred because society has become more and more godless. People who claim to know Christ are conforming to the ways of the world and projecting a weak witness to a watching world. Prominent leaders lay hands on a president and say, "I thank you, God, for having a president who believes in the power of prayer." But the president they are laying hands on shows no evidence by his behavior that he even knows who Jesus Christ is. The God of this world is doing his job well. But what about us? Christians work themselves to death and play themselves to death and have little time to be the bearers of good news. I hear all the time from pastors and other church leaders, and you've heard this too, that the work of the church is done by the faithful few. And the faithful are getting fewer. This brought to mind a well-known Christian poem, "No Time for God." "I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. I had to hurry to get to work, for bills would soon be due. So I knelt and said a hurried prayer and jumped up off my knees. My Christian duty was now done. My soul could rest at ease. Now all day long I had no time to spread a word of cheer, no time to speak of Christ to friends. They'd laugh at me, I fear. No time, no time, too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give to souls in need. At last, the time to die. I went before the Lord. I came. I stood with downcast eyes. For in his hands God held a book. It was the book of life. God looked into his book and said, "Your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but never found the time." Jesus said to his followers something that applies to us today. He said, "Anyone who wants to be my follower must deny himself and follow me." He said, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The answer is nothing. There's nothing we could do to save ourselves. Jesus did it for us, and now we are called to live for him." The early church was a community of light that turned cities upside down. That's why the apostles were often run out of town by the city authorities. They created communities of light that transforms the lives of people, so much so that it changed the way people lived. The parables of the kingdom that Jesus shared in Matthew chapter 13 challenge us with this question: what are we willing to give up? The person who finds the treasure in the field joyfully sells all to buy the field. And the merchant sells all to buy the pearl of great value. Each of their discoveries disrupted their normal daily life and priorities. They required risk and sacrifice. These parables describe for us the invaluable worth of the kingdom of God. Its value far exceeds every other treasure a human being could acquire. And God's kingdom does not rust or decay or need an extended warranty. It does not lose its value, and it cannot be stolen from us. These parables also portray the joy of finding peace with God. This is what being a Christian is all about. Our deepest needs met, our deepest longings satisfied, deepest hurts bandaged in a way that only God can heal, and a future and a hope like none other. What is the kingdom of God worth to you in light of the fact that God gave us his best? He sacrificed his all on the cross for us. Shouldn't living for him and building his kingdom be at the top of our priority list and not simply an add-on? Are you willing to give up what you think is great for something greater? It will take sacrifice and the reordering of our priorities. My mom always taught me, don't settle for anything but the best. Amen? Why settle? Why settle for anything less than the best? There is no greater joy that can be found than the joy we receive living for Jesus Christ. The joy and the peace we receive from him is in an endless supply. And when we share his love with others, his joy becomes a well within us, springing up into new life. Amen? Amen. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, All my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. For Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond our weakness and find purest gold in miry clay, turning sinners into saints. And I will always sing your praise here on earth and ever after. For you've shown me heavens, my true home, when it's all been said and done. You're my life when life is gone. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I'll live my life for you. God, may that be our prayer. God, you gave your all. There is no greater joy in life than knowing you and serving you. We can seek satisfaction and joy and other things, but they will always come up short because they were never meant to take your place. Purify our hearts, open up our minds, our desires, our will, to live more fully for you every moment of the day. God, may we bring you glory, for truly it is in you that we live and move and have our being. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.